Oh, I thought they were preventing you. Like, this is bad. You guys have to stop using AI. Do you use an LLM at all to write your code? Well, I mean, I guess it depends what domain you're working in. Because I use it like a decent amount. If I'm like, I don't want to write this like 13 line snippet that I've probably written before. Hey, how do you do this? And then it dumps me a snippet and then I copy paste. Oh no, I mean it really depends, but you don't even ask it about like how to do stuff with a specific new tool or API. Do you talk to them at all? Okay. Or if it's new, like if you ask me to do anything in pandas, I'm not using an LLM. If you ask me to do something in polars, I'm gonna be like, how is this done in polars? Sometimes I'll go to the polars docs. Like 50% of the time I'll ask an LLM, 50% I'll go to the polars docs. For SQL, I'm not going to the docs. For SQL, I'm like, hey, I have this table, I have this, do this fucking stupid join shit because I don't know SQL. And then it's like does whatever subquery stuff that it likes. Or if I'm translating SQL to SQL Alchemy in Python, so it's two things I don't know, it's like doubly nested. I'll go to a bunch of times I've just taken SQL and I've been like, can you make this the SQL Alchemy syntax in Python? And then it'll give it back to me and then I'll PR it. And then my manager's like, what is this? And I'm like, dude, this is all AI. I checked it. It looks fine, but like I don't know exactly the SQL that is going on here. I know loosely the data processing that's going on. But I ask it a bunch of questions about stuff. It's like 50-50. You still have to understand what it's like for SQL. Like I can read the SQL, like oh, it's doing this join, and then maybe it throws in an operation I don't know, and like that's fine. I've asked to write C++ before, and I hammer it on, like, what I know. Like, treating it like a black box. If I'm, like, looking at C++ and I'm like, the shit you gave me is not in, like, it's not in the same style as this other stuff. So I'm like, look at this, hand it back to me in a different way because it doesn't look correct. Why? And then I'll hammer it on why it did specific things. Why did you use this kind of a thing? Why did you have this as a particular arg? Why this? Why this? So I'll ask it to generate code and I'll use it. But I'll usually hammer it if it's something that I don't understand that it gives me in the output. Yeah. But it's like a curve thing. Like in the very past where you only have docs, there's not even Stack Overflow, you have to spend a bunch of time and you will know the component better. But in order to get anything done, you have to spend a bunch of time. Now you can go to an LLM, you won't learn much, but you can get the thing done. So it's like you have to pick where on the curve you want to be. So sometimes it's like, we need this fucking... You would hope that the AI solution is temporary and long enough that it solves the immediate problem in front of you. And then, yeah, you might go back. You might ask the LLM. You might go back and learn documentation. Maybe you'll have a bit more breathing room to actually get the problem done. Because a lot of the stuff I run into is just like, you have to fix this in the next hour, or you have to fix this in the next 3 hours, or this needs to be hot fixed to prod, so it can't be breaking in prod in the next 6 hours. Like, get this done immediately. So a lot of the stuff is like, if an LLM can give me the solution and I can take time to understand it later, I will take that every single time. Like, yeah, here's code that works. I'll figure out why it works later. Yeah. Although to be fair, they do surpass humans in a bunch of stuff. As far as like information synthesis and recall, it's like they're I also use them for I don't think that's true. I mean, the stuff that I've seen, there was like one landmark study that had three cohorts competing for diagnostics. They had humans with access to ChatGPT and ChatGPT itself. And the order of lowest accuracy to highest for diagnosis was humans plus ChatGPT, and then ChatGPT by itself. So if you put a human in between ChatGPT and you had it make the final decision, it actually lost accuracy just versus a model, which makes sense. It's diagnostics. It's just general diagnostic, like here are symptoms, figure out the disease. How are you going to diagnose? You're going to say that there's no matching disease? Yeah. I don't know what rate that would be, but oh, I mean, it's just the symptoms of the patient. I think it was just a write up of the symptoms, and then the doctor had to go off of the write up. I mean, yeah. The person has the final say, so they're allowed to veto ChatGPT, which I assume they did in the study. I don't know. I also don't think this is like a profound problem to say that LLMs are doing better. It's like large scale data synthesis and retrieval. Like it's someone that spent 4 to 8 years practicing medicine, trying to memorize symptoms versus something that can search all symptoms. Like, it's not crazy to me. The thing that's crazy to me is like Swebench is like 57% Django or something. Like, front end is solved via LLMs for any existing framework. Obviously, new ones are going to come out. But like, when people are like, oh, I've built this app with an LLM, it's like, well, you weren't doing anything out of sample. You wanted a front end that did this. The LLM has seen a billion front ends that do this. You want to keep your data in this format. It's seen a billion of those. It had to tie them together. It's seen a billion of those. So if you're asking it to make an app, it's like saying like Wix is profound because you can like build a website clicking around. Like you can, well, like building a full stack app with an LLM. I built a website with one. No, I mean just front end. That I don't know. Well, okay, yeah, I think images is something else. But like my brother built an app, like a Rust app that has an HTML JavaScript front end, and he didn't write any HTML JavaScript. It's a YouTube MP3 downloader. So you enter a link, it goes to YouTube, downloads it, and then adds it to a playlist. What, like in, Like involving a database? I mean, I guess it depends how you're prompting it. Like if you're asking it like build a website from scratch, like you could say like give me a plan to build a website from scratch. I want it to do this, this, and this. If you're using this technology, tell me exactly where to get all of these things and how to link it to the front end and MedPalm? But that was my whole point. It's just, I mean, are you going to not train it on medical diagnoses and then ask it to do? It's like asking a. I mean, sure. Like I don't think these doctors were like sat down and been like, the machine is better than you. You are worse than the machine. The machine will do better than you. Do not veto the machine. And if they still vetoed the machine at the end, what are you gonna do? But like, yeah, this is. Oh no. Yeah. Yeah. No. I'm willing to bet they weren't trained. That I believe because it's vision. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, this is the use. This is like one of the best things. If you just want to do stuff in sample, like they're absolutely crazy. Like. People falsely attributed GPT-5 for solving an open problem in math. Do you know what GPT-5 really did? Because GPT-5 produced a solution. Are you guys familiar with this? Well, this one is an open problem. This isn't like doing well on like a in un like new questions, like a bunch of PhDs. No. This was something else. I forgot exactly the context of the problem, but I think it was some geometry or some combinatorics problem, but it produced a correct solution to it. What it did was it just searched p all of the papers and had found that someone had solved the problem before, but it was not widely published or recognized. So it was considered by the math community to be open and unsolved, and GPT-5 was like, I actually have the solution right here, and then just cited a paper that had a correct solution to it. I think that's like 80% solving an open problem. If you have a solution that no one knows about, it's not a solved problem. But again, It just information retrieval and synthesis. It's been my favorite way to use them the whole time. I don't ask them to produce any code larger than like half a function in the actual code base I work in. I do ask them to build like so I asked it about one small thing and then really made sure it was good. It was a single class. It was a compacting queue based on keys. Like last message per key. And I was like, I had to write it in like fucking 15 minutes because a different change that I had done that fixed one thing broke three others and people were bitching at me. And I was like, okay, please just write me the compacting queue. I'll incorporate it into this thing. And then within like an hour, I had the solution already deployed and it was well under memory. And then actually someone sent me the same guy that was bitching at me sent me is like, very good job on the compacting queue. And I was just like, all right, man. Like, I did have the idea for it, but I didn't write the compacting queue. I wouldn't do that on a call. Oh yeah, no. Yeah, oh, completely. Josh's comment was not wrong. Like, people become worse programmers because you're not dealing with the nuts and bolts. So, I don't know, hopefully your brain is doing something productive with all its newly found cycles in programming, but I don't know, maybe we're freeing up cycles for the Sora TikTok clone. And you can watch videos of Sam Altman stealing GPUs and getting pulled over. Probably have. The Sora videos were very funny for like 3 days, but they fell into like five different categories. But the funniest one was SpongeBob getting pulled over. But that was like early Stable Diffusion where you had like Jar Jar Binks at the Nuremberg trials. You can only see so many of those kinds of images before you're like, all right, I get it. You put funny guy in serious situation or serious guy in funny situation. We get it. Okay. I did see this one. This is probably the worst. I don't even know what this was made with. Humor prompt. I'm always suspicious of the video because I feel like people generate 100 and then pick one. Oh, no. It looks like a dream, right? If it didn't even look like a dream, that's the other 99 is what I'm saying. Like every time I see a video, but I mean, I don't know, like it can do Will Smith eating spaghetti really well now. I'd be shocked if that wasn't. I saw someone say that even though the new Will Smith eating spaghetti videos are more accurate, they're less or no, that they're more realistic, they're less accurate because the previous one described the actual feeling of eating spaghetti, like the way that the video moved and like how he moved it. It actually was accurate to the human feeling of eating spaghetti. Now it's just photorealistic. It's no longer impressionist. Yeah, exactly. That was just cameras. I like some of the Gaga songs. What the fuck does she know about cameras? True. Sure. Yeah. Cool. I was going to say, I thought Harry Potter was a muggle. A real thing. Where is that? I try not to eat that much. I try not to eat that much. He didn't want to say monkey breast, that's why. Josh, what if it's a recessive gene? But what if it is? But I'm just saying. Or an animal. When you search for minotaurs, but there's too many women. Stuck out. No one say that. Sure. Benny will recognize it and turn it up. Let's go. Crabs in a bucket. Oh, I don't know. We could also just go take care of it ourselves. Do you guys know there if there's like a stock market nearby? I will remind you, Benny has record keeping lore. He is well read. About how about we take care of whatever important business this we have like seven things to do today. We have to check out the PO box that they're definitely going to visit. We got to have a meeting at sundown with that guy that is interested in you, a little sus. And then we're going to go to a stock market and short all of the umbrella hawking companies and then hop into the sewers and finish off the Rainmakers. Wrap it up. 1 hour. Wrap it up. It's 20 minutes. I'm driving. It's in the rain. I want to be safe. Oh. I think you're talking about plan B for Benny, and he'll take out his thieves tools that he showed you earlier. Go with me. What do you guys think? Lollipop? No lollipop? Too much attention? Too cute? Not cute enough? It is in the trailer. There's just a scene where a little girl with a lollipop like skips into a bank and then takes a mask off, and it's Liam Neeson wearing a little girl's outfit, and then he beats up all the people at the bank. Have you read the letters of Benny? It spells I am Liam Neeson. All right, Benny goes in with Johnny Skyfall.